Hello, and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on Windows Vista Client Manageability Overview. My name is Peter Lammers. Windows Vista is designed to reduce the cost of desktop support, to simplify desktop configuration management, to enable better centralized management of the desktop, and to decrease the cost of keeping systems updated. Let's start the session by going into more detail on exactly what we'll be covering. Windows Vista introduces several important features to improve the stability of enterprise desktop configurations and reduce the expenses related to maintaining those settings. Windows Vista gives administrators more control over their environments and provides tools to simplify common administrative tasks. Windows Vista greatly increases the administrator's ability to troubleshoot and automate tasks, reducing the time needed to manage the desktop and decreasing the likelihood of manual errors. As we go through today's session, you'll hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we'll explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or from other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. To help you out, we have listed the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with, either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. Windows Vista is the newest release of the Windows Client operating system, so a basic understanding of how Windows XP client management works would be helpful as we discuss the new features of Windows Vista. Many of the new management features and enhancements work with Windows Vista and Windows Server, codenamed Longhorn. Because Windows Server Longhorn is the newest server operating system, an understanding of Windows Server 2003 administration will ease you into administration with Windows Server Longhorn. Finally, many of the features of Windows Vista relating to client management are improvements to group policy. Therefore, a basic understanding of group policy will help you understand the key improvements of Windows Vista. To cover the topics mentioned, and to keep the session flow going, we have divided the session up into the following agenda items. First, we will talk about the key areas of improvement and management features in Windows Vista. Then we will cover how to maintain computer configuration by restricting the user's control over the computer. Next, we will examine new features in Windows Vista that simplify configuration management, such as group policy. Finally, we will take a look at the new troubleshooting and task automation tools. Let's start by reviewing the management features. There are three key areas of enhancement in Windows Vista: maintain PC configuration, simplified configuration management, and desktop troubleshooting and task automation. These key areas map to new features and specific improvements in Windows Vista. First, once a system is the way you want it, you want to keep it that way. You want to prevent users from changing settings inappropriately and preserve the system state. Second, if you are in an enterprise, you want to manage the configuration of the systems. You want to configure the systems the way you want and keep them in that configuration. Third, when a system does not stay in working configuration, you want to know about it. You want advanced tools to help diagnose and correct the problem. To maintain PC configuration, have the user log on as a standard user and not as the local system administrator. With user account control, it is easier to deploy users as standard users. That in turn keeps users from changing settings. Windows Resource Protection, like its predecessor Windows File Protection, prevents applications and installers from overwriting files in the system folder and also protects the system registry. The simplified configuration management includes enhancements to group policy. Group policy is the mechanism for expressing and implementing the desired configuration in the enterprise. There are improvements for managing updates, many new WMI providers, and enhancements to Windows Remote Management. For desktop troubleshooting and task automation, there is the new Windows Eventing System 6.0. You can subscribe to events and automate tasks. The Reliability Analysis component will show information about critical events and system availability over time. Now that we looked at the overall key areas of improvement, let's talk about maintaining the computer configuration. In this section, we will review how to maintain the computer configuration by limiting users' ability to make changes to the system. For anyone who has installed a version of Microsoft Windows earlier than Windows Vista on their computers, the majority of user accounts are configured as members of the local administrators group. Administrator privileges are required to install, update, and run many software applications without conflicts and to perform typical system-level tasks. Even the simplest operation, such as clicking the taskbar clock to view the calendar, requires administrator privileges. Granting end users administrative privileges makes individual computers and networks vulnerable to malware and increases total cost of ownership, because users can make unapproved system changes. Windows Vista provides a simple and secure mechanism for running end-user accounts with standard user privileges, while eliminating the need for administrator privileges when performing many common tasks, such as installing a printer driver or connecting to a secure wireless network. This innovation is a user account control, a feature that makes it more practical to deploy users in an enterprise without administrative permissions, preventing them from installing unapproved software or making unwanted changes to their configuration. Now we will take a closer look at this. In this demonstration, we will configure the user account control. Let's look at what we've done to make it easier to work as a standard user in Windows Vista. First, we'll switch users and log on as Aaron Kahn, a standard user account in the Contoso domain. If you've ever used Windows XP as a standard user, you've probably run into several frustrating issues. You can't open the clock properties to look at the time, much less change the time zone. You can't change power management settings, and many applications don't run properly in that environment. A few things have been changed to make that experience much better within Windows Vista for the standard user. If we need to change the time on our computer, it is still an action that requires elevated privileges. Anytime you try to perform an operation that requires administrative privileges, you'll see a shield icon, which indicates that elevated privileges are required in order to perform this action. After you click the shield icon and supply administrative credentials, you can unlock Control Panel and actually undertake that operation. You may be thinking the issue is still there because only an administrator can change the system time. However, the time settings on the computer itself are important for Kerberos authentication, which is the default authentication method of the Windows network. What we've actually unlocked for the user is the ability to change the system time zone. This is important for traveling users whom you need to provide with restricted permissions. This is one way that we've made great strides in improving the experience for the standard user. Let's look at another example of how we're keeping the environment safe yet functional. If we look at the properties of the computer, we'll see that if we wanted to change system settings or the product key, these would be considered administrative operations. And if we were to try to change the product key, we would again be prompted for administrative credentials. You will see that same awareness in other areas of the operating system as well. For example, if we try to install a downloaded program rather than just running the setup, Windows understands that the operation requires administrative privileges. Once again, if we can supply those administrative credentials, the installation can begin, If not, the installation will not start. Another area in which this applies is in using legacy applications. We have added a new feature to ensure that legacy applications will still run satisfactorily for standard users. Let's see an example of what this looks like. This sample application is designed to simulate what a lot of applications do when running under Windows XP. They try to save per-user settings in the Program Files folder. We'll type some text in the message field, and then choose the option to save this to a shared database, meaning the Program Files folder, and save the message. A message appears at the bottom of the application window, telling us that the file was saved successfully. Under Windows XP, this save would have failed unless we were an administrator. But it really wasn't created in the Program Files folder. What happened was that the write operation was actually redirected to something called the Virtual Store, which is a per-user location. This is where the file actually resides, and again, this happens without any modification to the application whatsoever. So when the application tried to write to Program Files, under Windows XP, we would have seen an access denied error. But Windows Vista captured that write operation and then redirected it to the virtual store. Next, we will look at how this differs when you log on as a member of the local administrators group. As an administrator, you have the ability to customize or control the behavior of the user account control security feature. To do this, you can access the local security policy or the domain group policy. The user account control options are found in the security options container. From here, you can control the UAC behavior for elevation for administrators and standard users. The behavior of the elevation prompt for administrators and admin approval mode policy controls the behavior of Windows Vista when elevated permissions are needed for a given task. By default, an operation that requires elevation of privileges will prompt you to select either permit or deny. If you select permit, the operation will continue with the highest available privilege. The prompt for consent option removes the inconvenience of requiring that users enter their username and password each time they want to perform a privileged task. By selecting the Prompt for Credentials option, you can force UAC to always prompt for administrative credentials to perform a privileged task. The last option, Elevate Without Prompting, allows you to perform any operation that requires elevation without consent or credentials. This scenario should only be used in the most constrained environments. While logged on as a standard user, you can either prompt for credentials, which is the default for workgroup installations, or select no prompt, which is the default for domain environments. The no prompt option results in an access denied error message being returned to the user when trying to perform an operation that requires elevated privileges. In the domain environment, you'll want to use the no prompt option to reduce help desk calls. The next UAC setting is the Detect Application Installations and Prompt for Elevation setting. When enabled, application installation packages that required elevated privileges to install will be heuristically detected and trigger the elevation prompt. Enterprises running standard user desktops that leverage delegated installation technologies like Group Policy Software Install, or SMS, will disable this feature. In this case, installer detection is unnecessary and thus not required. The user account control setting, only elevate executables that are signed and validated, is disabled by default. When enabled, UAC will not allow you to run unsigned applications on the computer in any circumstance. This setting may unduly hamper the user's productivity, so only enable this option for extremely high security situations. The Run All Administrators and Admin Approval Mode option enables the Consent Admin user type, which allows only certain users to give permissions to programs to run with elevated privileges. Disabling this policy disables the Consent Admin user type. If you disable this security policy, the Security Center will notify you that the overall security of the operating system has been reduced and gives all users the ability to self-enable elevated privileges. To prevent malicious spoofing of the UAC consent dialog boxes, we've added the Secure Desktop option for the Windows Vista Beta 2 release. By default, all elevation prompts now occur on this secure desktop. The secure desktop's primary difference from the user desktop is that only trusted processes running as system are allowed to run, and the path to get to the secure desktop must also be trusted through the entire chain. Furthermore, the user experience in the secure desktop is unmistakable. When you click a UAC shielded control, the user desktop turns to gray, and the elevation user interface is the only item with which you can interact. The final setting controls the virtualization of file and registry write failures, as shown earlier in this demonstration. This policy enables the redirection of legacy application write failures to defined locations in both the registry and file system. This feature mitigates those applications that historically ran as administrator and wrote runtime application data back to the program files folder, the Windows directory, or the System32 directory, in addition to the HKEY local machine software registry key. Now let's talk about Windows Resource Protection, or WRP. Windows Resource Protection in Windows Vista replaces Windows File Protection, WFP, in Windows XP and Windows 2000. Ideally, users should not be able to add or modify files in the Windows System directory. That is a problem because a user logged on as a local system administrator can get around this if he or she knows how. Files can get altered by trusted services. This changes in Windows Vista. Only the operating system trusted installer service is able to make changes to files in the protected files or to the registry. A user or application will not be able to modify certain registry settings by opening a reg file or by making an inappropriate change to an install process. If for some reason they are modified, they will be replaced with trusted copies. Some registry settings can still be modified in this manner. So far, we have shown the key areas of improvement in Windows Vista management, and we have covered the new features that help maintain a computer's configuration. Now let's take a look at how Windows Vista simplifies configuration management. First, we will examine group policy. Group policy in Windows Vista and Windows Server Longhorn provides an infrastructure for centralized configuration management of the operating system and applications that run on it. Expanding on the foundation established in Windows Server 2003 and Windows XP, group policy is improved with greater coverage of policy settings and extensions, better network awareness and reliability, and easier administration. To get the computers into a managed configuration state, you can use group policy to create a policy of configuration. It allows you to express and implement policy for all computers, client and server, and for all types and classes as role-based entities. You can now use group policy to centrally manage a greater number of features and component behaviors. Windows Vista adds hundreds of new settings to the reach of group policy. In Windows Vista, the group policy service is no longer tied to the WinLogon service, and additional client-side extensions or other services now have their own service host. This provides better reliability for Windows and group policy. Windows Vista is more reliable and efficient at applying policy, and it is much easier to use. The Group Policy Management Console, GPMC, that was introduced with the Windows Server 2003 is also included in Windows Vista and Windows Server Longhorn. This console is installed by default, so you do not need to install it separately to use it. Group Policy Management Console centralizes administrative tasks associated with group policy into a single snap-in for the Microsoft Management Console, MMC. Group policy is extended in Windows Vista, and over 500 new settings added to key areas. Settings added in printer deployment include default printer and detect printers on the network. All power management settings have been group policy enabled, providing a potentially significant cost savings. Controlling power settings through group policy could save organizations a significant amount of money. There is now an integrated experience for IPsec and Windows Firewall. For example, if you need to open holes through your IPsec configuration, such as for inbound investigation or troubleshooting, there are expanded settings for Internet Explorer Maintenance, IEM. You can open and edit Internet Explorer group policy settings without the risk of inadvertently altering the state of the policy setting based on the configuration of the administrative workstation. This change replaces earlier behavior in which some Internet Explorer policy settings would change based on the policy settings enabled on the administrative workstation used to view the settings. New settings have been added to device installation and usage. USB ports are good for administrators, but users bring programs and potentially infected files on USB devices. They can also take company data off-premises, including identity information. Now you can limit how these devices are used. If you have an improved device, you may want to allow only that device to connect. Troubleshooting and diagnostics can be managed via group policy, as can elements of Windows Error Reporting and Windows Defender. Let's take a closer look at some of these improvements to group policy. Network location awareness allows group policy to respond better to changing network conditions. One main benefit of the network location awareness feature is the end of the reliance on the ICMP protocol, or ping, for policy application. Network location awareness ensures that client computers are both aware of and responsive to changing network conditions and resource availability. With network location awareness, group policy has access to resource detection and event notification capabilities in the operating system, such as recovery from hibernation or standby, establishment of VPN sessions, and moving in or out of a wireless network. Group policy subscribes to the notification domain controller is reachable. It checks to see if it can reach the authority for the group policy objects. If it can, it checks to see if there are any updates and provides its current state. It then downloads any applicable updates. This is different in that you do not have to worry that a mobile computer will miss the update cycle because it was in hibernation or connected through VPN. There is now support for group policy settings in multilingual environments. There was a problem with the monolithic ADM files, which combine text strings created in the language of the local administrator who created them. Other administrators only saw the language that they were created in and could not make sense of them. Now there is a .admx file, which contains just the settings, and a .adml file containing the language information. These are XML files and are quite manageable. Windows Vista and Windows Server Longhorn introduce greater flexibility in administering local group policy objects, or LGPOs, providing the means to manage multiple LGPOs on a single computer. This increased flexibility makes it easier to manage environments that involve shared computing on a single computer. such as libraries or computer labs. In addition, in a work group, each computer maintains its own policy settings. Multiple LGPOs may be assigned to local users or built-in groups. This feature will work with domain-based group policy, or it can be disabled through a group policy setting. As we mentioned earlier, the Group Policy Management Console is now integrated into Windows. You must use GPMC on Windows Vista to create GPOs for use with Vista. However, those GPOs can be read anywhere. Let's take a closer look at group policy in the next demonstration. In this demonstration, we will review the controls for removable devices and power management settings. Now let's look at one of the most requested features in Windows Vista, which is the ability to control over which devices can be installed on the system. This can be used to keep people from logging on to a computer and plugging in a USB flash drive to steal corporate data. We'll use the Group Policy Management Console to configure the default domain group policy object. The policy settings in which we are interested are found under the Computer Configuration node called Device Installation Restrictions. First, we will enable the Prevent Installation of Devices Not Described by Other Policy Settings setting to deny installation of any devices not described by policy settings. This will block all devices from being installed by the user. If we were to deploy this computer to a user, the devices present are all that he or she could use. This user would not be able to install new drivers, including those that may already be present on the system. We'll also enable a setting that allows us to define exceptions to this rule. First, we need to open the Device Manager and identify the hardware ID for the device class that we want to allow users to install, in this case, mouse devices. Each device class has a unique hardware ID. For mouse devices, we will simply copy this value to the clipboard. Now, back in the Group Policy Object Editor, we will enable the rule that will allow the installation of the device classes that we specify. And then, we will add an item using the hardware ID that we copied earlier. Now, if you're going to plug a USB flash drive into this system, Windows Vista would still recognize that a new device had been plugged into the computer, and it would start the plug-and-play installation. However, Windows Vista will identify it as a USB flash drive and display a message notifying us that the installation of one or more devices is forbidden by system policy. So even though Windows Vista comes with the drivers necessary to use the USB flash drive, the local policy prohibits us from plugging it into the computer and using it. Now we will investigate the new Vista power management features and learn how to use group policy to deploy various power management schemes. You want to ensure that the performance of servers in your organization is not adversely affected by the power scheme deployed to them. A power plan is a collection of hardware and system settings that manages how your computer uses power. Power plans can help you save energy, maximize system performance, or achieve a balance between the two. The three default plans are: the balance plan offers full performance when you need it and saves power during periods of inactivity. The power saver plan saves power by reducing system performance. This plan can help mobile PC users get the most from a single battery charge. The high performance plan maximizes system performance and responsiveness. mobile PC users may notice that their battery doesn't last as long when using this plan. You can change settings for any of your power plans, including the three default plans, Balanced, Power Saver, and High Performance. The default plans meet most people's computing needs. If these plans don't suit your needs, you can easily create your own plan by using one of the default plans as a starting point. With Group Policy, we can assign power plans that best fit different computing needs of our organization. In this case, we will create a new policy for the research group. For the purpose of this demonstration, we'll edit the GPO to deploy power schemes through the computer configuration node of the GPO. We can instead deploy them through the same setting under User Configuration, Administrative Templates, System, Power Management. You can specify a custom active power plan by enabling the Specify a Custom Active Power Plan setting. To assign custom power schemes to a GPO, you must know the GUID of the power scheme. You can retrieve the custom power plan GUID by using powerconfig, the power configuration command line tool. The Select an Active Power Plan setting allows you to specify one of the default Windows power plans. In this case, we will assign the high performance power plan to the research group to maximize their performance. By using Group Policy to assign power plans, you can conserve power while ensuring that all computers have the right performance available for their functions. Windows Update also has enhancements to help simplify configuration management. Although it is important to keep current with the latest software updates, update management can be costly, time-consuming, and disruptive to IT professionals and end users. Windows Vista includes platform technology that can be used to prevent reboots or to reduce the impact of reboots in cases where they cannot be avoided. This new technology is used by the Windows installer, so adding or removing applications with the Windows Add or Remove Programs feature will be less likely to require a reboot. While new applications are installed, applications currently in use may be automatically restarted. To reduce the disruption caused by the installation, some applications, including key Microsoft Office 2007 applications and Microsoft Internet Explorer, can automatically restore their state after installation. And in cases where reboots cannot be avoided, the same technology may be used to restore the application's state after the reboot. Windows Server Update Services, WSUS, a new version of Software Update Services, SUS, also helps improve update management. Administrators can use WSUS to more easily review the new updates that are available and assesses whether these updates are needed in their environments. For environments that use automatic updates, administrators can use WSUS to deploy all updates. In previous versions of Windows, only critical updates could be deployed using the Automatic Updates feature. The Windows Update Agent, WUA, is now a standalone application that can download updates either directly from Microsoft or from an internal WSUS server. Because the WUA provides a single interface to updates downloaded either from Microsoft or from an internal enterprise server, users do not have to learn how to use two separate tools. There are many new Windows Management Infrastructure, or WMI, providers, and they are all scriptable. This provides the ability to get different components of the Windows operating system and query them. You can pull status, get information, and do configuration. Some of the new providers include BitLock Drive Encryption, Trusted Platform Module, Boot Configuration Database, Intelligent Platform Management Interface, Windows Parental Controls, and Network Access Protocol Client, among others. Up till now, WMI has required that you loop through collections of objects to make sure that you can find them all, even when there can only be one object in the collection. In Windows Vista, you can directly access that one item with the item index property. Using the item index in Windows Vista, you no longer have to loop through collections. You can directly access individual objects. Windows Remote Management, WinRM, makes Windows Vista easier to manage remotely. WinRM is Microsoft's implementation of the WS Management Standard, an industry standard web services protocol for protected remote management of hardware and software components. WinRM, along with the proper software tools, allows administrators to remotely run scripts and perform other management tasks. Communications can be both encrypted and authenticated, limiting security risks. With WinRM, WMI work can be done through scripted queries and modifications over the Internet through an open firewall port. This concludes our look at how Windows Vista simplifies configuration management. Now let's take a look at the new troubleshooting and task automation tools. Problems that occur are not always properly escalated and recorded. This scenario is based on studies done with Microsoft IT and technical support. When a computer crashes, the typical action is to reboot. In over 90% of the cases, the user rebooted without reporting any problems. Less than 10% of critical errors get reported to the help desk. What does the help desk do? The help desk usually tells the user to reboot and see if that fixes the problem. In a small percentage of cases, the help desk is aware of a known issue and resolves the problem. In this study, it was found that less than 5% of unknown issues were escalated for investigation. What is the cost implication? If no resolution is found, the issue will keep occurring. IT is not aware of the issue. If the problem is escalated to the help desk, there is no way to capture that information and reuse it. The new Windows Eventing 6.0 system can help address some of these issues. It has an easy-to-use interface where you can create subscriptions and even assign tasks to events that occur. It makes it easy to get the relative information. We will see more of this in a moment. Strict standards ensure that events are meaningful, actionable, and well documented. Many components that stored logging information in text files in previous versions of Windows now add events to the event log in Windows Vista. When you use Event Viewer to troubleshoot a problem, you need to locate events related to it, regardless of which event log they appear in. Event Viewer enables you to filter for specific events across multiple logs. That makes it easy to display all events potentially related to an issue that you are investigating. When you work with event logs, your primary challenge is to narrow the set of events to just those that you are interested in. Sometimes this is easy. Other times this involves a great deal of effort that is lost if you do not have some way to save the view of the logs that you worked on so hard to create. Event Viewer supports the idea of custom views. Once you have queried and sorted to view just the events you want to analyze, you can save that work as a named view, and it will be available for you to reuse in the future. You can even export the view and use it on other computers or share it with other people. Using Event Viewer, you can easily automate responses to events. Event Viewer is integrated with Task Scheduler, enabling you to right-click most events to start scheduling a task to run when the event is logged in the future. Event Viewer enables you to view events on a single remote computer. However, troubleshooting an issue might require you to examine a set of events stored in multiple logs on multiple computers. Windows Vista includes the ability to collect copies of events from multiple remote computers and store them locally. To specify which events to collect, you create an event subscription. Among other details, the subscription specifies exactly which events will be collected and in which log they will be stored locally. Once a subscription is active and events are being collected, you can view and manipulate these forwarded events as you would locally stored events. Using the event collecting feature requires that you configure both the forwarding and the collecting computers. The functionality depends on the Windows Remote Management, WinRM, service and the Windows Event Collector, WECSVC, service. Both of these services must be running on computers participating in the forwarding and collecting process. Task Scheduler has some new enhancements that also help you with a lack of awareness. Task Scheduler is much more powerful in Windows Vista than in earlier versions of Windows. It can still be used to run tasks at specific times or when the computer starts up, and it is entirely backward compatible with Windows XP. However, with the new Windows Vista Task Scheduler, IT professionals can also schedule tasks to run when a specific event occurs, such as insufficient disk space. Administrators can use Task Scheduler to notify the support center of problems or even automatically resolve common issues. A user locks or unlocks his or her workstation. Administrators can use Task Scheduler to run a script or application whenever a user returns to his or her desk. The computer is idle. Administrators can use this feature to run maintenance tasks, such as defragmenting the disk or backing up the computer when it is not in use. In addition, tasks can be run in sequence, enabling administrators to schedule multiple tasks with the confidence that the tasks will not run simultaneously. To improve security and reduce maintenance related to password expirations, credentials for the accounts used to run a task can be stored in the Active Directory domain, rather than on the local computer, where they are much more vulnerable to attack. You can use Task Scheduler to script the functionality that you want to tie into the eventing system. The dashboard shows the tasks that are currently active, as well as those that are pending. It also gives information about problems that have occurred. It is possible to retry failed tasks or to set delays on conditions for retrying. Let's take a closer look at the new eventing system and task scheduler. In this demonstration, we will examine new features of the event viewer and task scheduler. There are several ways to access the event viewer. You can start the event viewer from the start menu, at the command prompt, or in control panel. For this demonstration, we created a shortcut on the desktop. You can also start the task scheduler through control panel, but again, we created a desktop shortcut. We will cover the task scheduler later in this session. The event viewer in Windows Vista has a completely new look and feel. One of the first things you will notice is the new events log summary. The summary of administrative events shows the application, system, security, and setup logs. You can see the total critical, error, warning, information, and audit successes events that have been created in each log. Along with the total events, there is a breakdown of events for the last hour, the last 24 hours, and even the last 7 days, which will help you determine if a new problem is happening or perhaps if there is an ongoing issue that needs to be resolved. Located below the summary is the recently viewed nodes pane. From here, you can easily load any recent views you have accessed. The log summary section displays statistics about each of the individual log files managed by Windows Vista. As you work with the event viewer, you'll find that Windows Vista expands the number of log files to help you access only those events that you are interested in seeing. There are also new event log views, such as the administrative events view. This view gives you instant access to only error and warning events on a given system. Within the Windows Log container, you'll find event logs similar to those found in Microsoft Windows XP or Microsoft Windows 2000, such as application, security, and system logs. The application log contains events logged by applications or programs. For example, a database program might record a file error in the application log. Program developers can decide which events to monitor. The security log records events such as valid and invalid logon attempts and events related to resource use, such as creating, opening, or deleting files or other objects. An administrator can specify what events are recorded in the security log. For example, if you enabled logon auditing, attempts to log on to the system are recorded in the security log. The setup log is used to store setup-related events. The system log contains events logged by Windows system components. For example, the failure of a driver or other system component to load during startup is recorded in the system log. The event types logged by system components are predetermined by Windows. The forwarded events log is used to store events collected from remote computers. To collect events from remote computers, you must create an event subscription. Applications and services logs are a new category of event logs. These logs store events from a single application or component rather than events that might have system-wide impact. The hardware events log is actually a cross-log query, which operates across multiple logs. Several other application logs are available to view for programs such as Microsoft Internet Explorer and other Microsoft applications. Operational events are used for analyzing and diagnosing a problem or occurrence. They can be used to trigger tools or tasks based on the problem or occurrence. The operation events logs are categorized according to various Windows components. For example, you can view all the events that affect the performance of Windows network components when troubleshooting connectivity issues. The performance diagnostic log provides a list of events that may affect the performance of Windows. When an application fails to respond in a timely manner, Windows logs an event to this container. Windows Vista includes several automatic diagnostic tools that detect signs of hardware failure. When Windows detects some of these signs on the physical hard drive, events will start to be logged to this location, along with warnings on the user interface, notifying the user of the problem and providing instructions on how to back up the system data. These containers may also store a number of other types of log files. Some, such as analytic and debug logs, are hidden by default. Analytic logs store events that trace an issue. Admin events are primarily targeted at end users, administrators, and support staff. The events that are found in the admin channels indicate a problem and provide a well-defined solution that an administrator can act on. An example of an admin event is an event that occurs when an application fails to connect to a printer. These events are either well documented or have a message associated with them that gives the user direct instructions regarding what must be done to solve the problem. The subscriptions category in the console tree is where you will find views of event log files that originate on other computers. The Windows Vista Event Viewer also includes a new pane called the Actions pane. In the Actions pane, you can perform several common tasks, such as opening a log file, creating a view, or even connecting to another computer. The Actions pane clearly shows you what actions are available at any given time. Events may be filtered using many different criteria, including the severity of the event, the source of the event, and keywords. You can filter events in a particular log or create a filter that operates across multiple logs, also known as cross-log queries. For example, you can create a filter that shows you all events with a severity of critical or error across all event logs. This provides a way to quickly see if any serious error events have been raised on your system. You can also filter events based on when they occurred. If none of the options are acceptable, you can create your own custom range. Many other options are available, including the ability to filter based on the computer, event source, event ID, or even different keywords. You can see even the XML query that is being generated to produce the filter. The filter currently includes events for the system log matching either level of 1 or 2, which correspond to both error and critical events. You also have the option to edit your query manually. However, if you choose to manually edit the query, you will be unable to modify the query using the Filter tab. If you create a useful filter, it is easy to save it as a view. This allows you to reuse this filter. And the new view is saved with the name Critical and Errors. In the Actions pane, you will find several commands that can be applied to the current view, such as deleting, renaming, or refreshing the current view. Information about events is clearly displayed in the new Event Viewer. Events now include additional information such as keywords that will allow for better queries and filtering of events. Furthermore, help documentation is available in Windows Vista for all events, explaining what the event means and what to do when it occurs. Events are generated in XML. These schematized events are dramatically easier to manipulate and manage than the text-based events that they replace. XML events can also be more easily consumed by management tools, which will make it easier to manage desktops in the enterprise. Other options regarding specific events appear in the Actions pane when you select an event. You can view the details, attach a task to the event, copy the event to the clipboard, or save the event to a file. The capabilities of the task scheduler have been greatly expanded in Windows Vista. In Windows XP, you could only schedule tasks to start based on time. In Windows Vista, you can set up a task to start automatically when a particular event occurs. For example, you can set up an event to occur every time a user logs on. By locking and unlocking the workstation, we've created a series of security events that log when these actions were taking place. Event ID 4624 specifies that an account has successfully logged on. The Task Scheduler Wizard makes it easy to select an event and set up a task to start in response to that event. Three actions are available for tasks. You can start a program, you can send an email, or display a message. For example, you could generate an email that's sent to the help desk, or you can execute a script or program that can help resolve the problem. For our example, we'll have Notepad start whenever a user logs on to the computer. The wizard has successfully created the new task. If you want to make any changes to this task in the future, you'll need to do so through this task scheduler. The task is started and running right away. We can test our new task by locking the system and then logging back on. Windows Vista can schedule jobs to run at specified times more predictably, reliably, and securely. But the Windows Vista Task Scheduler goes beyond simply scheduling the tasks. New features in Task Scheduler also fulfill the need for more complex and proactive system and application management. The Windows Vista Task Scheduler provides a platform for easy, secure, ad hoc management of client computers. Task Scheduler logs its execution status using a set of predefined events in the event log for the purposes of monitoring, synchronization, and health management. The newly redesigned user interface, provided as an MMC snap-in, allows detailed monitoring and control of the tasks through summary pages, task history, and detailed task views. The summary page provides a quick overview of the tasks that executed in a configurable window of time and their pass-fail results, as well as all the tasks that are still active on the computer. A detailed view of all scheduled tasks is provided in the Scheduled Task Details area. The upper pane contains a list of tasks scheduled on the computer. The bottom pane shows details for the highlighted task in the list. Triggers, actions, conditions, and settings for each task are viewable by clicking the relevant tabs. There are several steps to create a task. First, you must name the new task, give it a description, and set the user options. Next, the trigger to start the task must be specified. As we saw earlier, you can create tasks to start based on events. In addition, the task scheduler in Windows Vista supports several other new types of triggers, including triggers that start tasks when the computer is idle for a specified period of time or at startup or logon. A number of additional triggers allow administrators to set up tasks to start when the session state changes, including on terminal server connect and disconnect, and on workstation lock and unlock. Task Scheduler still allows tasks to be triggered based on time and date and provides an easy management of regularly scheduled tasks. In the new Task Scheduler, triggers can be further customized or fine-tuned when tasks will start and how often they will run. An administrator can add a delay to a trigger or set up a task to repeat at regular intervals after the trigger has occurred. Administrators can add set limits on tasks, indicating that the task must stop running after a given period of time. Activation and expiration dates can also be specified. After creating a trigger, you must specify what action to take. Several options are available, such as starting a program or script, sending an email, or showing a message. A number of conditions can be defined for each task. Conditions are used to restrict a task to run only if the computer is in a given state. For example, with the new task scheduler, you can start a program when an event occurs only if the network is available, start an action at a specific time only if the computer is idle, or start an action at logon only if the computer is not operating in battery mode. Administrators can use settings to instruct Task Scheduler what actions to take if a task fails to run correctly. In case the task fails, administrators can indicate how many times to retry it. If the computer is not on when a task is scheduled, an administrator can use settings to ensure that the task will run as soon as the computer is available. An administrator can also define a maximum execution time for a task, assuring that the task will time out if it runs too long. Task Scheduler can help IT professionals work faster, smarter, and more securely. It offers greater flexibility in defining, scheduling, and automating standalone, repeated, or sequenced tasks. It responds proactively to error conditions. It is easy to access and easy to use. It provides a transparent, one-stop view into tasks and events in an enterprise system. In short, Windows Vista Task Scheduler is a dependable, powerful addition to the IT toolbox. So how can an enterprise best take advantage of these new eventing features? It would not be feasible to get thousands of emails about the state of computers across the organization. You need an event management system. The new Windows Vista Management Pack for Microsoft System Center Operations Manager 2007 will solve this issue. When IT administrators use Operations Manager 2007 and Windows Vista together, they'll be able to reduce the number of calls to the help desk, lower their overall cost of ownership, and increase end-user productivity. With the new Windows Vista Management Pack for Operations Manager 2007, IT professionals will be able to monitor and report on resource utilization, hardware and software reliability, and even information across large numbers of desktop systems. This combination will capitalize on the increased number of diagnostic events that Windows Vista components generate, allowing for better troubleshooting, as well as the fact that the event subsystem captures events in an extensible XML schema. The management pack includes agentless monitoring for Windows error reporting, aggregated alerts and reporting, and integration with Windows XP and Office System 2007. Another feature to look at is the reliability analysis component. Windows Vista uses the built-in reliability analysis component, RAC, to calculate a reliability index, which provides an indication of your overall system stability over time. It shows a trended analysis of uptime versus downtime. RAC also keeps track of any important changes to the system that are likely to have an impact on stability, such as Windows updates, application installations, and driver installations. You can use the Reliability Monitor Snap-in for Microsoft Management Console, MMC, to see the trends in your system's reliability index correlated with those potentially destabilizing events, making it easy to trace a reliability change directly to a particular event. The computer has to be running for a while to provide enough data for the analysis before the trends can be shown. Once it has enough information, it will show the frequency and type of user disruptions, such as application installations, hardware issues, and operating system problems. This allows you to take action to minimize downtime. Here's what it looks like. In this demonstration, we'll examine the reliability analysis component. The reliability of a system is the measure of how often it deviates from configured, expected behavior. Reductions in reliability might be the result of applications crashing, services freezing and restarting, drivers failing to initialize, or in the worst case, operating system failures. The reliability monitor provides you with a quick, visual view of the stability of your system over time. In addition, it tracks events that will help you identify what causes reductions in reliability. By recording not only failures, including memory, hard disk, driver, application, and operating system failures, but also key events regarding the configuration of your system, including the installation of new applications, operating system patches, and drivers, you can see a timeline of changes in both the system and reliability, and pinpoint how to get your system back to optimal reliability when it does not behave as expected. The top half of the Reliability Monitor window contains the system stability chart. Reliability Monitor maintains a year of history for system stability and reliability events. The system stability chart displays a rolling stability index for the operating system. Windows Vista shows 1 month of data. You can choose to display a single date or all dates. To view a graph of all available data, click Select All. To view data for a single date, click Select a Date, and then select the date on the calendar. At the bottom of the system stability chart, 5 bands track reliability events that contribute to the stability measurement for the system. Below the system stability chart, you can expand each reliability event category by clicking the plus sign to view events for the date or range of dates selected. The data for each event type is as follows. The software uninstalls category tracks software installations and removals, including the operating system, Windows updates, drivers, and applications. The software will either be the name of the operating system, the application, the Windows update name, or the driver name. You can also reference the software version, type of activity, whether it is installed or uninstalled successfully, and the date of the action. The application failures category tracks application hangs, including the termination of a non-responsive application and crashes. Here you'll see the application that hung or crashed, the version number of the application, the failure type, and the date of the crash or hang. The hardware failures category tracks disk and memory failures, with information on the component type, whether it was the hard drive or memory, and the device that is failing. The failure type field indicates whether a hard drive failure resulted from a bad disk or a bad block, or it indicates that the memory failure resulted from bad memory. When this happens, Windows will warn the user and provide instructions on how to protect the computer's data. Operating system crashes, boot failures, and sleep failures are tracked in this category. The failure indicates whether the event is a boot failure, an operating system crash, or a sleep failure. For each failure type, it provides the stop code, the detection problem, or the component that failed to enter sleep mode. Failures that impact stability and that do not fall under previous categories are tracked in the miscellaneous failures category, including unexpected system shutdowns. Let's review what we have covered today. Windows Vista features, like user account control and Windows resource protection, improve the stability of enterprise desktop configurations and reduce the expenses related to maintaining those settings. Enhancements to group policy give administrators more control over their environments and provide a tool to simplify common administrative tasks. New features in Windows Eventing 6.0 and Task Scheduler increase the administrator's ability to troubleshoot and automate tasks, reducing the time needed to manage the desktop and decreasing the likelihood of manual errors. To get more information on the products and technologies we have covered today, we have some online resources available that can help. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. You can also visit www.microsoft.com/technet/dsk-16 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are also available from Microsoft. Popular author and MVP William Stanek offers expert insights in this first look into the latest generation of Windows operating systems. Discover the new features and tools for deploying Windows Vista, help secure PCs and user accounts, migrate user settings and data, manage application compatibility, improve reliability, reduce support costs, develop applications, and help users achieve new levels of productivity and success, whether at home or on the job. Introducing Microsoft Windows Vista is the guided preview for IT professionals, business decision makers, early adopters, users, developers, and anyone else who wants to start planning and hit the ground running with Windows Vista. There's also another good book available from another publisher. Here is the ultimate one-step desk reference for Windows Vista users. Windows Vista, the complete reference, provides comprehensive coverage of the newest features of the operating system. From setting up for optimum performance and understanding the operating system to finding files and keeping computer systems secure and free from spyware, this volume covers it all. It's the ideal resource for anyone who wants to truly master Windows Vista. There's also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills in implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The Skills Assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Press books, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including Security and Patch Management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you set yourself apart from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft Certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals, and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. Several accreditations are available. Starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, MCP, you can become a fully certified System Administrator, MCSA, System Engineer, MCSE, or a Desktop Specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which you might find interesting. To help explain this in more detail, I'd like to introduce Ian Brackenbury, TechNet Subscription Project Manager, to cover these changes.
TechNet Plus Subscription introduces its newest offering, TechNet Plus Direct. With TechNet Plus Direct, subscribers get all of the benefits of TechNet Plus for 30% less. Subscribers receive fast, easy access to the tools and information they need to get the most out of Microsoft solutions. A subscription provides IT professionals with immediate online access to all the essential technical resources they need to resolve technical issues faster, get hands-on experience with the latest Microsoft technologies, and build technical skills. Subscribers now get immediate access to all their subscription features in one convenient location, our new online benefits portal. Subscribers get access through subscriber download to Microsoft full version software for evaluation and beta releases without time or feature limits. No more waiting for media shipments. This includes Microsoft Server, client, and application software titles. With full version software, subscribers can make informed decisions about new technologies and deployments at their own pace. For the toughest technical questions, a TechNet Plus subscription also comes with two complimentary professional support incidents. Subscribers can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve their mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed news groups. Subscribers can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to their technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. In addition, subscribers can also chat with a Microsoft Search Assistant online for help finding the technical resources they need or for assistance with non-technical questions. Subscribers also get access to technical information and tools, including the TechNet Plus library containing the knowledge base, security updates, service packs, resource kits, and more. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The two complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. TechNet Plus is available exclusively online without media shipments. For more information, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions. There are a number of free community resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of the product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public news groups. The news group page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post questions, and through their subscription ID, are guaranteed a response from Microsoft support professionals and IT experts by the next business day. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can cover on this slide, and the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details about attending a live TechNet event. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk to Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, the TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. And with that, thank you for taking the time to listen to this TechNet session.